This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here at ZenCon 2016, and my special guest today is Mr. Larry Garfield. Say hi to everybody, Larry.
Hi to everybody, Larry.
Now, amongst other things, Larry, and we'll talk about some of the other things you're doing later, but you are in charge, or you were the leading person on the new Fig 3, the Fig overhaul. Let's talk a little bit. Let's start with the what Fig 3 really is now, okay?
So the Fig 3, kind of the informal name for it, is a number of changes all rolled up together in the way that the PHP Framework Interoperability Group works. In the new model, we still have member projects, but one of the problems we had in the past was, are the people representing those member projects themselves, are they speaking on behalf of the project? Do we vote in the project? Do we vote in the person? You know, just that was... On paper, it was supposed to be project. In practice, it was a little of each, and that was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So projects are now very explicitly representing the project. And then most actual work, because in practice, again, most of the member representatives, the project representatives, are kind of busy. Mm-hmm. And having them do all the work of reviewing stuff, voting on specs, deciding on people, being involved in discussions, which didn't always happen in the same place, basically, we needed to refactor Fig and separate out responsibilities.
Okay.
So we now have member projects, and we also have what's called the core committee, who are elected by the voting representatives from projects,
okay,
may or may not be project representatives, and they're responsible for the actual, you know, technical development of specs and overseeing working groups and reviewing proposals and so forth.
Okay, well, let me ask you something, because you said something interesting. Mm-hmm. You said that the core committee may or may not be project representatives.
Correct.
If they're not project representatives, are you just electing people from the community?
Yes.
Okay, so at that point, anybody can be part of the core community.
Yeah, anyone who is interested in Fig and wants to put in the work that the core committee is expected to do, which is mainly keeping abreast on everything that's going on, mm-hmm, and knowing enough about the topics being discussed to be able to vote intelligently on them,
okay,
is eligible. You don't have to be associated with the project at all. So that's one of the first big changes.
Yeah, that's a major change.
Yeah. Then in the past, we kind of had working groups for a given PSR proposal,
mm-hmm,
but in practice it was very squishy. We had an editor, who could be anyone, and we had a sponsor and a coordinator who had to be member project representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had who knows else who's involved. And we had a lot of issues at times where, okay, who's calling the shots? It's supposed to be the editor, but the editor really should be listening to these other people more. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes people didn't feel they were listening as much as they should, rightly or wrongly, I'm not going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So in the new model, we have a working group that's at least five people, one core committee member, one editor, and at least three others who can be anybody.
Okay.
Again, could be a project rep, could be another core committee member, could be just random person interested in this topic.
Doesn't have to be a Fig member to be a part of the working group.
Right.
Okay.
And which means you could have a working group that consists of zero people who are project representatives,
mm-hmm,
or five people who are project representatives. Either way is totally legal. And it can be more than five. It's people who are not just giving passing input, mm-hmm, but actively engaged in developing whatever that spec
so
is.
So if you're working on the async, you're looking for people like Aaron Petrowski to get involved.
Precisely.
In it. Okay.
You know,
I'm just pulling his name out of the air because I know he works on iCycle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. For an async working group, which we've talked about, doesn't exist yet, but we've talked about will probably happen. You know, people like, you know, you'd want on the working group people like Aaron Petrowski,
mm-hmm,
You'd want people like Chris Bowden. You'd want people like Chris Pitt.
Yeah.
You really don't care about me because I don't have much async experience.
Yeah.
Drupal doesn't have much async experience. So as the Drupal representative, I shouldn't have a vote on that. Aaron Petrowski really should. You should listen to Aaron more than you listen to me when it comes to async stuff. There are other topics where it's the other way around. And the working group now recognizes that distinction. Okay. In the new process, a proposal comes in. The whole core committee votes on whether or not we want to form a working group mm-hmm. for it. Working group gets put together, which can include project reps for projects that are relevant. You know, async could be async-based projects. The HTTP specs that are being worked on this project that are, you know, dealing with HTTP handling and so forth. Mm-hmm. They work on the spec, you know, whatever, and then it's not done from them until they vote by a 2/3 vote to say this is ready to move up.
Okay.
So while the editor still has final authority on what goes into the spec, they can't dictate unilaterally what's going to go on. It has to have enough support from those who have a stake in it.
And then it makes it out of committee and goes...
And goes to the core committee.
Okay.
In a review stage. The review stage, similar to the review stage we have now, it's kind of like the current review, the kind of the Fig 2 review phase is like a release candidate. Mm-hmm. The new review stage is more like a beta.
Okay.
So it's a bit looser. But the core committee at that point cannot vote on it until there are at least 2 working implementations.
Oh.
That's borrowed from the IETF model, where an RFC needs 2 working implementations before they'll vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll accept something into the process, but it has to actually be running before we can vote on it as a final spec. Because that helps verify, okay, we've got this great idea. Does it actually work? Does it actually improve interoperability? Is it actually implementable?
Yeah.
For an interface type spec, like, you know, PSR3 or PSR7, it's pretty easy to say, yes, there are implementations.
Mm-hmm.
For something like PSR12, which is the revisions to coding standards, it's a bit fuzzier what qualifies as an implementation. But we specifically say, okay, best judgment for what implementation means in
practice.
We're
not switching to tabs, are we?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that's going to hurt somebody.
That's not on the table.
Okay. So.
Ready and there are implementations and it's been vetted, then the core committee can vote on final approval. And again, it's now a 2/3 vote rather than a 50%. So a spec now has to, by the time it's passed, have a 2/3 vote of people directly involved in whatever that topic is, 2 working implementations, and a 2/3 vote of the kind of technical oversight committee that are looking at the big picture, making sure specs are well developed, that all the relevant parties had a voice and were listened to. You know, even if we took one rope and approach instead of another, it was actually given due consideration, that specs are consistent with each other in a valid way. That's what the core committee is responsible for.
Okay.
So at least in theory, the resulting specs that come out have a much higher bar than they do now, but they also have more focused attention from the people who are best equipped to work with them.
Okay.
And that the idea is that, you know, we solve a number of problems that Fig has had in the past around workflow, around structure, around authority and responsibility. And also, because we open up membership to for the core committee and working groups to the whole community, we're acknowledging the fact that Fig does have an impact on the whole PHP ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a member project or not, the things that Fig works on will impact everybody, or may impact everybody.
Yeah.
So everybody who's going to be impacted deserves a voice in that process. And that's another part of the goal for Fig 3.
Very good. Now, once it moves out of core committee,
mm-hmm.
does it get voted on by the entire group?
No.
So once core committee approves it, it's done?
Correct.
Okay.
At this point, the role for projects is to vote on the core committee.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, other actively involved people can also vote on the core committee. So even if you're not a project rep, you can still vote. But they are also then kind of on call for a spec that's relevant to them.
Okay.
So as an example, if I'm blanking on an example now. A spec comes up that is, let's look at the async one as an example. You know, we've got this proposal comes forward for, hey, we should have a specification for dealing with, you know, ace promises, let's say. Okay, cool, core committee approves it. The working group for that, the project rep for iSQL, the project rep for React, can say, hey, that matters to us. We want to be part of that working group. And the assumption is, you know, you got it.
Okay.
And you know, because they have, you know, a skin in the game, they have a stake in it, so we want them involved. They get to just say, hey, include me. And that then means they get a vote on that spec. Other people who are not project reps can also say, hey, I think I've got something to add, and they can be accepted as well. But to the extent that there's a burden of proof, yeah, that's kind of a heavy statement. But
yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah, the assumption is project reps can just say, hey, I want to be part of this working group. It's relevant to my project. And we say, cool. Anyone else they say that comes along, it's, okay, why do you want to be in? Oh, because you have this extra experience that's helpful. Okay, come on in.
Okay.
So it's not a high bar, but it's a lower bar for projects than for anyone else.
Now that you've opened it up to a lot of community interaction, are there any changes to who can propose a PSR? Do you still have to be a project, a voted in project to propose, or can they come from anywhere?
You didn't have to be a project in the first place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the under the Fig 2 model, the editor can be anybody, but you need at least two project reps to co-sponsor. In the new model, you need at least one member of the core committee to co-sponsor and be part of the working group, and for other people, one of whom is the editor. So that could be project reps, could be not project reps. You do not have to be a affiliated with a project at all to propose something, to be an editor on a project. It's helpful if you come forward and say, hey, I've already put together a working group of these 5, 6, 7 people who are working in this space and want to standardize this thing. You know, you need to have the working group together before the core committee can vote on whether or not to accept the proposal as a working group. But you don't have to be a project rep to do that.
Okay.
It just looks good if you have projects who are relevant to that spec at the table.
And I know you mentioned this before, but how many people are on the core committee?
12.
12, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I think that answers all the...
And the secretary's role basically doesn't change.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing the same things they've been doing in terms of the managerial side, taking care of the paperwork, taking care of access control, taking care of making sure tweets are sent out, all the kind of stuff that, again, separation of responsibility. There's the paperwork side, the marketing side, the managerial side, the secretaries do. There's technical oversight, which the core committee does. There's detailed work on a given spec, which a working group does. And there's kind of an on-deck pool of people who can work on specs selectively, and that's project representatives. So, you know, we've taken kind of this big ball of mud architecture that Fig used to have and refactored it out into discrete classes.
Okay. Very cool. Hey, you just started a new job.
Yes, I did.
After 9 years at Palantir?
10.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I was at Palantir.net for 10.5 years as a mostly Drupal consultant.
And they were good people. You just kept raving about them.
Yeah, they're still a good company.
So
I like them.
But you threw them under the bus. No, you've left them.
Yeah.
Where are you at now?
I am now at Platform SH.
Wait, isn't that the people that Magento just selected?
Yes.
Wow.
So
very cool.
Platform SH is a container-based platform as a service. I can say hosting company, but we're more than just a host.
Okay.
What we do is every branch of your project is a fully running environment, or can be a fully running environment, with an app container for your PHP code, a second app container for a Node.js app, a MySQL database, a Redis instance, Elasticsearch, whatever. We have about a dozen containers. All of that's controlled by config files in Git. Your infrastructure is part of your application definition. Your application is in Git, so your infrastructure is in Git.
Very nice.
So you just version control your infrastructure. You want to add a new server, you can tweak a config file and push, and poof, you've got a new container.
Very cool.
Every branch is a fully running environment and also has a complete clone of your production data, no matter how big the production data is. We do some black magic copying at the volume level. So if you've got 3 gigabytes of data on your production site, you spin up a new feature branch to test something, you get the entire production data in about a minute and a half.
That is very cool.
And then, all right, test that out. You like it, cool. Merge that back to your master branch. We redeploy the entire set of containers, and you've got your new running site. And it's all smooth and slick and clean, and for what it's doing, fairly inexpensive, too.
Nice.
Magento Cloud is a white box labeling of Platform SH.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our technology under the hood, tailored specifically for Magento Enterprise.
Okay. Well, very cool. And I assume you're scalable beyond MongoDB and DevNull, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can get different plan sizes, different amounts of CPU, different amounts of RAM, depending on what your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
You can vary the amount of disk space you have. We support pretty much anything PHP, as well as pretty much anything Node or Python or Ruby. And we want to expand that list over time.
Mm-hmm.
The only caveat is your production environment is a read-only file system.
Mm-hmm.
You get writable file mounts for user-uploaded files and stuff like that, but the actual, your PHP code or your Node code is...
So no SSH in and fix it in production.
You cannot do that. Yeah, which is a good thing. That's a feature.
MWOP would be very happy because he used to have to fix all the stuff that I would do on DevZone back in the day. I'd go in and fix it in DevZone and tell him, I need you to backport these changes.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. Hey, same questions I ask everybody. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
It's Chicago PHP. And I think we have a website, but I just go to Meetup.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys just rebooted not too long ago, didn't you?
Well, so Chicago had one of the oldest PHP user groups from like the late 90s.
Oh, yeah, way back.
And then it died out for a couple of years, and in the last year and a half, 2 years, has really come back.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Kay
is
one of the leaders on it, so he's doing most of the organizing at this point. You get a decent turnout. You go to a number of different venues in the city. Each month.
So you move it around?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a city the size of Chicago. That's almost a must.
So. Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here. And on behalf of everybody in the community, mm-hmm. thank you for everything that you're doing for the PHP community.
Thank you. And same to you, Cal.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.